Hello everyone and welcome to Friends Till the End, where you've been all along, your one-stop shop for all things Friends, as we run down the classic sitcom, episode by episode. I'm Michael, I've seen Friends over 1,000 times.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I have never seen Friends.
Spring has sprung, Elizabeth.
It certainly has, Michael.
We had some April showers this morning. Hopefully we'll bring to some May flowers, but time will tell on that one. Bit of a thunderstorm, but now it's nice, it's sunny, we've got the window open in the studio and we're enjoying the faint twitter of bird song.
It's nice. I wonder if you can hear it.
Much better than the twitter of the internet. Nothing like bird song on there, just
right.
People carping on.
Right, carping.
Oh boy, it can get rough on there, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all just be nice to each other. Can we all just agree? Let's just all be nice to each other.
Tis the season.
Is it? Tis the season to be nice to each other?
I think all year round, tis the season nice to each other.
If only that were true.
Yes.
How are you doing there, buddy?
Good. I'm doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back again for another double episode.
I know. It's like Friends really was looking out for me and was like, you know what? I want her to watch 4 episodes. And record twice.
I mean, we did take like a 2-week break in between, so it's basically been...
To be fair,
mm-hmm.
I jinxed myself on the last podcast because I was teaching you and everyone how to plug your nose and make it sound like you had a cold.
Yeah.
And then I got very sick. I have a cold that's been lingering for about 2 weeks, and this is the best I've sounded in 2 weeks.
And I can speak to that.
So it's just been a mucusy ride. So here we are.
Well, I also was away in New York City for WrestleMania weekend. That's come and gone since we last recorded.
I know. Oh. The fans want to know, Michael, how was it?
It was so good. I can't tell you. I got there Friday morning and I left Monday morning. I did 5 wrestling shows. I went to like a wrestling podcast recording. Ah. Oh. So good, man. I went to the different venues. I was in the Midtown Hilton in the ballroom for a couple of shows, a bit of Rev Pro, a bit of Pancakes and Pile Drivers. I was in Madison Square Garden for the New Japan and Ring of Honor G1 Supercard. Oh, and that was the highlight of the weekend, I'll tell you. I was at the Barclays Center for NXT TakeOver. And then, of course, I was at the MetLife Stadium on Sunday for the 7.5-hour extravaganza WrestleMania.
Were you just exhausted by the end?
Do you know, like, it was a long week. Like, I was up at, like, 3 in the morning on the Friday to get a bus to New York. Didn't sleep on the bus. Had to get like another bus out to New Jersey where the Airbnb was and then get back right back into the city to make it to that first wrestling show on Friday afternoon. And I thought, like, I'm just going to be exhausted the whole time. But like during the shows, like once it got going, just like the adrenaline carried me through. It was great.
Okay, so tell me, how much was a beer at WrestleMania?
At WrestleMania, it was $14.
For one beer?
For a draft beer.
For a pint?
For a pint of beer.
Oh my God.
The most expensive was NXT at the Barclays Center. It was $15 for a beer. And again, that was for a pint. The Midtown Ballroom was $10 for a bottle of Sam Adams, which is probably the biggest ripoff. Because at least like in those ones, it was actually quite nice beer where you could get like a Goose Island or something like that. But a Sam Adams, oof.
Well, don't knock Sam Adams.
No, it's not a good
beer. I like
it.
Nah. Some of them I like.
No. Yeah, well, it's no Porch Rocker anyway.
Oh, God, Porch Rocker.
We're almost at that season.
Oh, it's the best.
I know people probably get a bit bored of me harping on about wrestling, but it was a fantastic weekend. WrestleMania itself was 7.5 hours long, which is a long time for anything. Personally, I'm hoping Gunthorella comes out of you quicker than 7.5 hours.
me too.
We'll take bets on that. But... like, I knew it was going to be that long, and it's just like, I may never go to this event again. I'm not going to get bogged down by, oh, my favorite people didn't win, and in fact, most of my favorite people did win.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to get bogged down by, the seats aren't great, which they weren't for WrestleMania. And I wasn't going to get bogged down by the runtime, because I knew it was going to be that long. It's once a year. Like, I don't know why, like, you know, wrestling fans like to complain for anything. I got no complaints. It was a wonderful weekend, especially good. The G1 Supercard, because we had awesome seats in Madison Square Garden. It was so good.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I spent that weekend sick in bed day after day.
You know.
So, I mean, really, I think I was the winner.
We have just finished watching Season 6, Episode 15 and Episode 16. It is the one that could have been Part 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like it's always quite clumsy to say the one that could have been Part 1 and 2. Shouldn't it be the two that could have been? Because it's two episodes. Or am I just being a pedant?
Yeah, I think you are.
Okay, fine. We'll talk about that soon enough. So before we get to that, we've got Friends Would You Rather, in which I pose to you a Friends-themed Would You Rather question. It's usually drawn from the episode that we have just watched as a kind of inspiration. The last week's one, the last episode's one, you probably won't remember because it was a while ago, but it was Would You Rather Have a Significant Ex-Partner Be in a Serious Relationship with One of Your Siblings or Have a Doppelganger Who Does Porn?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember what you chose?
I chose the doppelganger.
Yeah. I don't know.
Am I the only one that chose that?
No, very much not, actually. We put it to Twitter on our Twitter poll, and 80% agreed with you. They'd rather have a porn that do. I don't think people are seriously considering the ramifications of having somebody out there in the world that looks identical to you.
But right now, that could be a thing in your life, Michael. There could be some porn star out there that looks exactly identical to you, and you don't know.
I don't think
so. It's never impacted you.
I don't think that that's happening, though.
It could. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't. Well, nah. No, I think I'd rather have the sibling. At least.
No way.
If they're both making each other happy, you know, what are
you
going to
do? It'd be miserable. You'd, like, go to family dinners and you just, like, see them all, like, seeing them do the same things they did with you. It's just, oh, no.
I think I'd be fine with it.
I don't think so. I think until it's in your face, you wouldn't know how fine you'd be with it.
Well, people seem to agree with you on that one. I do not agree. But anyway, never mind. This week's Would You Rather, taken from this episode, which is, you know, fantasy booking in a way of Friends. It's a big kind of what-ifs and hypotheticals. So would you rather, Elizabeth, would you rather work as a personal assistant to your best friend and they don't treat you very well, and it's a little bit humiliating? Or would you rather be working in, like, a high-stakes, high-stress financial Wall Street job like Phoebe's doing in this episode, assuming that payment is the same for both jobs?
Do you like your job on Wall Street or whatever?
Well, would you like that job?
Oh, it's just my personal preference.
Yes, of course.
Oh, I didn't know if it was... You really enjoy it also.
No, I'm asking, I don't know if you would enjoy it or not. Given all I know about you, I can't imagine you would enjoy that very much.
Well, I don't think I'd be good at it.
Well, let's assume that you, like, know how to do it.
Okay.
At least. Like, you have as much training as Phoebe did for the job.
Is the assistant job a 24-hour thing, or is it set hours?
I mean, I don't really know how personal assistants... I guess depending on how high-strung your employer is, some might expect you to be on call 24 hours a day, and some might be like, all right, you're good after this amount of time. But let's say it's not traditional. Like, neither of them are going to be traditional, like, 9 to 5 hours.
Okay. All right.
Yeah? Okay. Well, we'll check in with you at the end of that to see, at the end of this episode, to see what you think. All right, before we get into talking about this episode, it did first air on the 17th of February in the year 2000.
What was happening then, Michael?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's time... Oh, God, the fucking... All right, my web browser closed down, but I think I can remember what it was. Okay, you ready for some breaking old news?
Yes.
Bong! On the 17th of February in the year 2000, bong, Dennis Rodman stormed off the court after a game didn't go his way. Bong! Savage Garden spend their third week at the top of the U.S. Billboard charts with I Knew I Loved You Before I Met You. Bong. In the UK, Gabrielle tops the charts with her dreary ballad Rise. Bong. And that's about it. There was also some pretty depressing headlines about teachers getting beaten up by students and prison guards wanting to ban a rap song that incited violence in jails against prison guards. But, you know, why get bogged down in all that stuff?
Wow.
Yeah.
It wasn't the greatest of days in history, was it?
It's hard to find happy news that happened 19 years ago. But anyway, that was that, as well as this episode. Season 6, episodes 15 and 16, they aired back-to-back, so there wasn't a break in between those. It was just basically a double feature, which is why we're covering it all in one today as well. But the question is, how many people watched this episode?
Oh no, I think it's me that has to go first.
I think it's you that has to go first. Our last episode, the one where Chandler can't cry, had 23.8 million. They've been sitting in those kind of low to mid-20s. All season. 24.1 was the week before that. 22.3 the week before that. So where do you think we're winding up? You are only 2 points behind now. So this is an important one for you. This could make or break the rest of the season.
I'm going to say 22.9.
I'll say 23.5.
Okay.
And the correct answer is... 20.7.
Ooh.
That's a drop. It's a drop and a half.
Drop for them, but a point for me. Oh, yeah.
It just can't be consistent.
No, it's always all over the place.
That's been quite a comeback for you. That makes the score. You've got 7, I've got 8.
Oh.
So this episode begins in the all-too-familiar setting of Central Perk. The gang's all there. Rachel comes in. She's got big news. Well, not big news. She's got news. It doesn't really impact the gang all that much.
I think it's kind of big. It's big for her.
Is it, though? She's kind of moved on.
Yeah, but it's still, like, shocking news. Something you don't expect.
So, that news is Barry, her ex, whom she very nearly married, which kicked off the whole chain of events that kicked off this television show.
Mm-hmm.
We first met her in that same location some 6 years ago, wearing her wedding dress, having just run out on him. Him and Mindy are getting a divorce.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he cheated on Mindy?
Well, we don't get that. We're not sure. We do know that he is a bit of a cheater.
Yep.
They got married at the end of season 2, I believe? End of season 2?
I don't know why you're looking at me.
End of season 3, maybe? It was the same day that... It was the not the biggest thing that happened that day, of course. The biggest thing that happened that day was Monica and Dr. Richard Burke broke up.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was the end of season 2. God, you'd think we would keep a track on this or something. But anyway, the gang treat this earth-shattering news with... the indifference that you would expect, because I don't think any of them really know Barry or Mindy, although Ross attended their wedding because he was dating Rachel at the time.
I have no memory of this.
Yeah, no, fine, fair enough. Yeah, they don't really care. Joey yells at Ross being like, you got divorced again, and they're like, no, it was Barry and Mindy. And this kind of throws the gang into like a mass conjecture on where their lives would have been if they had taken different paths. Rachel's like, wow, I wonder how different my life would have been if I had married Barry. And then Ross is like, yeah, I wonder if I'd never got divorced either. If Carol hadn't realized she was a lesbian, or if she hadn't like come out as being a lesbian. And then Monica, and like, okay, fine. Those two are kind of linked because I wonder if I was still married or if I had got married that first time.
Yeah, and then Monica's just like, I wonder if I was still fat.
Joy's like, I wonder what would happen if I was still on Days of Our Lives.
That one's legit.
It's a bit clank. It's a bit of a stretch. And then Chandler's like, yeah, and if I didn't have my crap job and I was a writer or trying to write. Is that something you're aspiring to do, Chandler? You've literally never mentioned any desire of doing this before.
Yeah, maybe that was a subtle thing put in a lot earlier. I don't know.
It wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't. And Phoebe's like, yeah, and what if I had taken that job at some high finance Wall Street thing? And it's a fantasy episode, everyone. We're getting an alternative universe. Here we go. Oh boy, this is all getting us to where we're going. You wonder what would happen if those things had happened? Well, we're just about to find out. The Rembrandts begins. We get a new opening, and with the cue of the Rembrandts, a portal opens up and we are sucked into this parallel universe where all those things they just said happen. This is kind of a common trope on TV shows. In fact, it's weird that, like, we watched this on the same day that we watched the final episode of this season's Grace and Frankie, where they do like a parallel universe episode.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about them?
I don't know. Like, I kind of like them, but I feel like I shouldn't.
You're like straying away from the timeline, like where we're at. We're obviously not like following any kind of narrative that the show has laid down. We're taking a break. It's kind of like a flashback episode. It's kind of like those episodes where like you see, like it's just like, oh yeah, these are things that happened in season two. You know, we've kind of done stuff like this before.
I think they can be kind of funny because they don't actually happen, so you can be more creative and fantastical with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you go back to the actual timeline, all that stuff goes away. So you can make up more things.
Yeah. It's done in comic books as well. Marvel do it with like a sort of, they have like a what if series where like they kind of look at story like, what if Wolverine was a bad guy or not? I don't know.
But yeah, you're right. I think a lot of TV shows do that a lot.
I bet a lot of people wish the last Star Wars movie was a what if. Can we have a do-over on that one? Am I right? God, what if The Last Jedi never happened? I bet a lot of Star Wars fans are asking that.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, so it's a double episode. They usually run long. I want to try and fly through this as much as possible because, like, I don't really care.
All right.
Is that fair?
It's fair.
All right, here we go.
I'm a second away from coughing into the mic, so.
All right. Well, let's see how we get on. The episode opens, Ross bumps into Rachel on the street. Rachel is wearing a cow coat.
Okay. Animal coat count one.
Truly, this is the darkest timeline. Rachel is wearing a ridiculous coat.
It could be fashionable, though.
This is a horrible world where Rachel didn't even invent the Rachel haircut. She's got like a sort of more traditional, kind of stylish woman of leisure, getting my hair done every other day kind of cut.
I was looking for the Rachel, the famous Rachel. Mm. Well, it's longer. Probably because they couldn't have cut her hair. Though they could have put a wig on her.
They could have put a wig on
her. Like, come on.
They do it in How I Met Your Mother all the time with only Lily.
That's true.
She's the only one that changes up her hair enough to make it necessary in that show. They're like, oh, nice seeing you. Hey, I'm married. Hey, me too. Isn't it great being married? And they're both like, yeah, it's great. And Ross is like, hey, Monica's just around the corner. You want to come say hi? And she's like, sure. And they go to walk off. They're at a newsstand. And she's like, wait, don't you need to pay for your magazine? And she like looks at it and it's like, I don't know, Big Jugs Monthly or something. You're like, oh boy, Ross buying porn on a busy street. That's how it used to be.
You didn't just find it in the woods?
Not in New York City. Where are you going to find your woods porn? But he's just like, obviously, it kind of like, normally it would just be like, oh, that's a lazy joke. But I guess it's, you know, he ain't getting any. From home,
he's sexually frustrated,
which is why he's doing karate.
Right,
we forgot to mention he's doing karate
or karate.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an asshole and says it
the proper way.
No way.
Anyway, they go to Central Perk, and sure enough, there's Monica, old fat suit Monica. You love this, right? This is your favorite trope.
God,
to return
it's
to.
It's just so funny making fun of people that are overweight. It's hilarious.
At least, like, there's a narrative to it now. It's like, well, what if I was still fat? Like, she kind of says in the introduction, oh, Chandler, you wouldn't date me if I was still fat. And Chandler's like, yeah, I would. How dare you?
It's just lazy.
Anyway, she's there. She is dating a doctor.
Dr. Boring.
His name may be Roger. It may be Ron. I can't remember.
I believe it's Roger.
You think it's Roger?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame because she was dating a Roger back in season one and that guy was... No, that's not right. Was Roger Fisher Stevens' psychiatrist doctor character?
Oh,
was
yeah,
he Roger?
I think that's right.
Who was the guy she was dating that the gang loved and she wasn't that keen about it? That wasn't Roger, was it? He was a bearded gentleman. He had quite a high kind of Fraser Crane hairline. But he was a great guy, and the gang loved him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember either. He might have been Roger. I think Roger was the therapist that Phoebe dated.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But it's not him. She's dating someone else, and he's apparently quite boring. And the gang make fun of her for that. Joey, in this crazy, dark timeline, it looks and is acting pretty much the same as Joey normally does.
He just has slightly fancier things, such as...
He's wearing a leather jacket.
Leather jacket, a nice watch as well. You know.
Two cow coats, if you will. Is he wearing a nice watch? I didn't even quite notice that. Chandler is a failed writer, so he's just dressing schlubbily.
And like he's a backwards hat, a t-shirt.
He's a comedy writer. He's trying to like write things for like comic strips and things like that.
Yeah.
In a hilarious little role reversal, Joey's like, well, let me just give you some money. And he's just like, I've got my pride. I don't want to accept money from you. So he hires him to be his personal assistant instead.
And that's where your would you rather question came in.
Hey, look at that.
Yeah, I made the connection.
Phoebe comes in. She's a hot shot. She's got like a Lego hair and she is smoking and she's on a cell phone. And you're just like, why would they be friends with this Phoebe? She just seems kind of mean and work obsessed and whatever.
Well, maybe she changed once she got that job.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of funny, actually. I like the choice. It's every time her phone rings, which seems to be a lot, she has to start smoking a cigarette.
Oh, okay.
So she like yells at her phone, hold on.
Oh, she's
lights the cigarette. And, like she needs it for stress relief almost.
It's a stressful job.
Yeah.
It's a stressful job. Rachel comes in and is reunited with her former friend Monica. Ross is like showing that he still has a crush on Rachel.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like staring at her and just being creepy and like, hey, look who it is. Rachel sees Joey and she's like, oh my God, that's the famous Joey Tribbiani. And they're like, yeah, we're friends with him. He's fine.
She's swooning.
And that's kind of the setup. We did this a couple of days ago. I'm trying to make sense of my notes. Phoebe has a new person on the phone, like a new assistant.
Yeah.
She fires someone and then she has someone new. Joey has a long list of chores for Chandler. Monica is eating every time we see her. And then it turns out that Phoebe has lost $13 million from some bad investments.
Right. She made a bad choice and lost her company a lot of money.
Do we, either of us know, should we pretend to know how Wall Street and stocks and things work?
Probably not.
Because she lost it for her client, like, I don't know. I think she advised her clients to invest in things and then
Probably just tanked.
Yeah. Bad stuff. And because of that, she has a heart attack.
Yeah, and she takes it pretty well. She's a hard ass, you know, she doesn't really worry about things anyway, but she's just like, you know, I can't breathe, and they're shooting pain down my left arm, and everyone else is like, oh my God, you're having a heart attack, we need to go to the hospital. She's like, okay, I guess I'm having a heart attack.
And she just sort of treats it as like, ah, damn it.
Like an inconvenience.
Yeah, she's annoyed. We then cut to the hospital, the gang are trying to comfort her, but she's just being unpleasant because she misses her work and she can't smoke and she's just like, bleh, fuck this. Elsewhere, Ross is having a dry spell and somebody advises him to do roleplay. Maybe Phoebe, I can't remember. Oh God, this is terrible, I'm sorry everyone.
To spice things up?
Yes.
It's okay, it doesn't matter who said it. One of the friends suggested trying...
Was it? Maybe it was Gunther, I don't know.
Someone in Friends suggested that Ross try some roleplay. Probably Joey.
Sounds like something he would say.
Yeah.
Probably not Monica.
No.
Yep.
And so he's like, yeah, you know what? That's a really good idea. I'm going to go home and talk to Carol about this and maybe it'll work.
Elsewhere, Joey is giving Rachel a tour of the Days of Our Lives set. And she is quite smitten by him.
Oh, yeah. She's just like fawning over him.
Mm-hmm. And he's like... He's, like, dropping in, like, lines. Like, he's trying to whir, and he's, like, saying lines, and he's, like, doing the very dramatic sort of, like, I may have said this before, but I've never meant it until... And she's like, that's a line from the show. And he's like, damn it. Because clearly he's just, like, using his lines from the show to pick up chicks.
It's funny. He's like, you watch too much TV.
He invites her to his place that night. And that kind of causes a dilemma for Rachel, because she's obviously still married to Barry.
Yes. Puts her in a pickle.
And then Joey yells at Chandler about orange juice. Because there's pulp in it.
I know, he got him freshly squeezed orange juice. Can you avoid the pulp unless you have some sort of, like, colander or something?
Yeah.
I guess. Some people really like the pulp because it is...
Yeah, Chandler does.
It shows.
But Joey doesn't. And that's the point. I would have yelled at him as well.
I would too.
That's a fucking Bush League mistake.
It's like you're flossing while you're trying to drink your orange juice.
Indeed. Ross is with Carol 2.0. Haven't seen her in a while.
I know. What's she been doing? The It Takes Two movie?
Is she in that?
Maybe. Yes.
She's the,
I'm pretty sure I forced you to watch
that. She's like the wicked stepmother or something?
Yeah.
Is she the bad guy?
She's good at being the bad one.
That movie is just The Parent Trap, right?
No.
It is, basically, though.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's really good.
Yeah. I've seen
They're
it.
Both really good. I think It Takes Two might be better.
Okay, if you say so. He suggests a bunch of things to kind of spice things up. As he's doing that, Ben comes in. We haven't seen Ben in a while.
Yeah, he's like a five-year-old.
Yeah, a little bit grown up. I mean, he would be five. He was born at the end of season one.
Yeah.
So here he is, and he's like, hey, give us a minute. He immediately sends him out the room.
Yeah, you don't really see his face or anything either. I was kind of looking for it, but...
Yeah, it's just like, oh, hey, nice to see you, son, for the first time in a couple of years. can you leave now? And he suggests things to spice things up.
Yeah, he suggests things like... having food being eaten off her, getting tied up.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, we could try a threesome. And she's immediately like, okay, yes, threesome.
That sounds great. What did you think of Carol 2.0's very year 2000, very Buffy the Vampire Slayer style crimped hair?
I knew you were going to ask about that. It just reminded me of the 90s. Honestly, I thought that the outfits, especially Rachel's, were so 90s and so perfect.
But, like, this isn't a flashback episode. This is, like...
No, but, it, you know, it's 2000, it's, so the style is still working its way into the thousands. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, her hair was so crimped. You could even see at one point on, like, a side view exactly where the crimping iron, like, left off. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, so over the top. So, I didn't like it. I remember I had one.
Did you?
Oh, my God.
You had the crimped hair?
No, I had a crimper.
Yeah.
And it came as like a set and you could put like butterfly clips and whatever else.
Did you have crimped hair?
So I tried it and it never worked out.
Well, your hair is kind of naturally curly.
Yes.
So that's quite difficult. So would you have had to have straightened it and then crimped it?
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of work.
Absolutely.
Were you wearing a choker?
I wore a choker earlier on, like those plastic stretchy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
and the jelly bands. Like okay. The bracelets and, yeah.
Okay. Oh, man.
All the good stuff.
You would have been a sight to see.
I mean, this is prime time. I was, what, being an 11-year-old in 2000, you're really getting into all the fashion. The stick-on earrings. Oh, yeah.
Good stuff.
The Smucker's lip balm.
You need to drag up some of these photographs for me at some point.
I'll find them.
Chandler's very excited because he sold a story to Archie Comics.
That's a big deal.
I wonder if it was like a sort of gritty reimagining that would maybe be a precursor to Riverdale. That's a thing, right? Is that Archie Comics?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's based on it. It's not
that
what actually happens.
Well, maybe that's what Chandler was pitching.
It's like a murder mystery in Riverdale, and Archie is just like a silly comic strip.
Mm. Joey apologizes to Chandler for his diva-like behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And Chandler's like, it's okay, I sold a story. And then Joey's like, cool, what's the story? And he explains it, and it's basically just exactly, like, what, does Archie have to be Jughead's, like, butler or something? Okay.
And do the most ridiculous things for him.
Like, they haven't done that in Archie comics before. I don't know, I've never read it before, but it seems like something they would do.
Yeah.
Rachel has a heart-to-heart with Monica. She asks about Joey. She's considering having an affair with him, and Monica's like, well, you know, that's kind of having an affair, you probably don't want to do that. And then probably in the best like moment of the whole episode, Rachel's like, oh god, I just wish like I could be not married for a while. I wish I could just like take a break or something from my marriage. And you're just like, ah, oh, the irony.
They just had to throw that in there.
It's good.
They?
That was good. That was probably the most clever little bit of irony that they put in the whole episode. I was there for it. It's also revealed in this conversation that Monica is a virgin. She has not yet given her flower to anyone.
Do men give their flower? Or is that just a female thing? Because I've never heard a man say, oh, I want to give you my flower.
We had this conversation yesterday. All flowers look like vaginas. So I think
it's
very a woman thing to say.
No, they don't.
Anyway, she's decided she's sick of waiting. She's going to have sex with Dr. Roger, who we've seen in this episode, I think, and he's just a kind of He's fine.
It doesn't seem like anyone really cares for him. He's just kind of boring. He talks about, like, nuts and things that people don't really care about. Mm-hmm.
But he's not, like, a dick. Like, he is, like, he's a doctor, so he gets called away a lot. So you're like, oh, that's annoying. But also, like, he's a doctor. Like, what do you expect? It's not like he's got an insignificant job where he has to constantly, like, go for a work emergency. There's nothing wrong with him. He's just a bit dull.
Yep.
Phoebe is smoking in the toilet, and the gang give her a hard time. Her phone rings, and Ross is like, no, no work for you. I'll answer it. And he answers the phone, and, like, he's like, okay, yep, I'll tell her. And she's just like, oh, what happened? It was her boss. And he's like, are they mad? And he's like, no, they just said get well soon. And then he sort of turns away. He's like, nah, she got fired. Bad luck, Phoebe. Rachel watches Joey on TV, and he's being all sexy and kissing girls and sending fake doctors to prison, and she decides she's going to give him a booty call. She's going to do it. And that ends part one. Shall we jump right into part two?
Let's do it.
Great. Netflix tried to chop off the opening credits to the second part of this.
Oh, it's because we just watched, you know, when you watch one episode and it goes directly to the next one.
Yeah, we never normally do that.
No.
But it cut off the special parallel universe opening that they had put together for the episode.
Which is probably my favorite of all of the things.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's awesome. Even just like the beginning when they all sit down on the couch. You know, Monica sits down in an armchair and the whole thing topples over.
Oh, man.
But like, the thing I like about Monica, I gotta say, and I don't like the whole fat thing, we all know that, but I think she's so happy. She's like a genuinely happy person. She's almost childlike in a way, this character. But like, she just seems like a great friend, a great person. Like, she's not as anal as she is normally.
And they don't really make, like, that's a good observation. And like, surprisingly, they don't like hammer that in. They're not just like, God, Monica, you're so chilled out all the time, right? Like, she just is. Like, she's just always, she's always eating something whenever you see her, but she's always like happy. She's always just chilled out. That's a good, I didn't even really notice that. You don't see her like cleaning or anything. Like, her place isn't a mess, but you don't see her being like anal about anything. We also get, it's an extended opening. We get the three I'll Be There For Yous again.
Oh,
thank goodness.
So good.
We have Ross, like, there's a scene where he's like trying to like kiss the back of Carol's neck and she's just like, get away. And we get like him doing his karate. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it's funny.
Good, good stuff. Ross discusses the potential of a threesome with Carol 2.0 and he's just like, I don't know how we'd go about this. And Carol's like, I have a list. And she's kind of like going through it.
It wasn't ever discussed if it would be a male or female in the threesome.
It's the patriarchy. I think we can just assume that it would be another woman.
Well, yes, and that's what they did. And so Carol has like 4 or 5 pages of just women's names ready to go.
And they're like kind of comparing and they're just sort of like, yeah, that'd be good. And she's like, tell me about it. And you're like, Ross. Phoebe is going stir crazy. She just wants to get back to work, but she doesn't know, of course, that she's been fired. Rachel goes to Joey's, and we kind of see that apartment that Joey got when he moved out for a little while. He had, like, the big porcelain dog and the crying window and all that stuff.
Very tacky.
Why did I write hair stuff?
Oh, because I made a comment about Rachel's hair. It had those little diamonds in them where you can just like clip them in or paste them in, whatever it is. So you can tell she's in like a cut off turtleneck that's like really fuzzy sweater type thing. And yeah, she has those little diamonds in her hair that make you look so fancy.
Good look. Good, powerful look.
It's from the 90s.
She could have crimped it first and it would have looked even better. Really made them
pop.
Monica is on a date with Dr. Roger. She's super horny. He's not that bothered. He doesn't seem to be that interested in anything. And then he gets called into work. And then fat joke number 7 I wrote. I don't know. Someone made a fat joke. I can't remember what it was.
We can assume
it was very funny.
She likes Kit Kats.
Oh, yeah. So she like shares Kit Kats with people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't eat my Kit Kats, did you? Yeah, someone at one point is like, oh, no. And Monica's like, you didn't sell my Kit Kats, did you? Like, all right, cool. Good.
I love good Kit Kats.
Yeah, Kit Kats are good. Ross and Carol 2.0 are waiting for the arrival of their third party in this menage a trois. There's a knock on the door, and who, of course, is it but Susan?
Susan.
Oh, boy. They basically open the door, and like Carol and Susan are just immediately like sort of hugging and like, hey, nice to see you.
They're like just staring into each other's eyes, and Ross is like, I'm Ross. She's like, yeah, okay, Ross. And they just like go to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. And Ross is like, this is gonna be great. Mm-hmm. Chandler and Monica talk. Chandler's basically consoling Monica because her plans to be deflowered were ruined. Chandler's wearing a pretty awesome Speed Racer t-shirt because he's a child at heart.
Yes.
And he doesn't have to wear a suit and tie or any of his oversized waistcoats, you know? He's just dressing. He's living his best life.
What a world.
Chandler offers, he's like, well, if you're that desperate, I guess I'll throw a sympathy fuck your way.
Well, he doesn't say it quite like that, Michael.
He's making a joke, but Monica's like, okay. And then they're like, oh, but this is a joke. And they're like, nah, let's just go for it. And they do it. That's nice.
It is nice.
We then cut back to Rachel on her booty call at Joey's. And Rachel is real drunk at this point.
Oh, yeah. I think the only way she could do it is if she was drunk. Because she would get a drink and then just chug it down.
And let me tell you something. If you think that Joey Tribbiani is not the type of guy to get a girl real drunk in his apartment and then not put the moves on him, yeah, he's still going to do that.
Yep.
That's not great.
Nope.
But luckily, she's going to throw up, and that kind of puts all the unsexiness on the situation.
Well, you see them kiss, and then she kind of like...
Do they kiss?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She kind of like has it in her mouth, basically. It's pretty...
Wait, when you say she has it in her mouth, what are you referring to?
The vomit.
Okay, I think it's important to clarify.
Oh, right, sorry. But I found it really strange that the television audience wooed for Monica and Chandler kissing, but not Joey and Rachel.
I think there's, I think that comes a wee bit later when there's a little bit more emotion behind it. I don't know. People have been watching Monica and Chandler kiss for...
Right. Yeah, this is the first time you see Joey and Rachel kiss, from my knowledge. I still think they'd make a good couple.
Really?
Yeah. I stand by it.
I don't see it. I think I got ahead of myself because my notes are rubbish. But Monica and Chandler are debating whether or not they're going to have sex. They have not yet had sex. They joked about it in the last one, in the last scene. And now they're like, oh, we can't do this. And then they're like, yeah, we can. And then they're like, oh, let's make some ground rules. And it's like, it's just about having sex. You know, it's just a physical thing. Friend helping out a friend. It's a little awkward. Like, he goes to kiss her and she's like, whoa, what are you doing there? And then she's like, I'll turn off the lights. And then, like, it's complete, like, one light switch and the apartment is in complete darkness. Not since the blackout episode have we seen such darkness in the show. And then you see your channel being like, oh, yeah, that's good. And Monica's like, that's the couch. And you're like, oh man.
God.
That, because Monica is got the size and the, like, texture of a couch,
God.
Apparently.
The texture.
That's pretty, the implication there. We then cut to them post-coital, and apparently it was pretty great.
It looked incredible from both their faces.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it looked insanely good. And it's, Chandler said he's had sex with 4 people before. And then we kind of see that number dwindle down as the episode goes on and he talks to Monica more.
Yeah, the number just drops down throughout.
Yeah.
It's a very funny joke, because he's a loser as well. Do you think that one... It eventually turns out it's just one person other than Monica. Do you think that one person is Janice?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I don't know. Probably just some random person.
All right. Rachel has crashed on Joey's couch. You can tell this is a dark timeline, because Joey is rocking his turtlenecks again.
Mm.
God, we haven't seen them in a couple of years. She feels very guilty. He comforts her, being like, "We didn't. Nothing happened. Don't worry. You shouldn't feel guilty. Here, take this ring. It was a prop from the show, and whenever you look at it, you can remember how you're a good person because you didn't cheat on your husband, even though she was thinking about it."
Yes.
Phoebe's up and about. The gang's like, "Hey, good to see you up." She's wearing a bath gown, and she's like, "I'm gonna go get." Gonna go to the bathroom or something, and then
she's gonna like go stretch her legs a bit, take a walk.
And she leaves the room and she takes off her bathrobe and she's wearing her suit and she's off to work. Oh boy. While Joey and Ross are waiting for her to come back, they're gonna be waiting a while. Ross confides in Joey about the threesome. It didn't go according to plan for Ross. It's just like, you know, it was kind of hot. Like, but I didn't really, like, my involvement was over pretty quickly. And all the stuff I did was just with Carol. Susan kept on pushing me away.
Yeah, he's like, it seemed like it was two and then one. Like, I didn't really need to be there. Mm.
And then he goes and made a snack at one point.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's awkward.
Mm-hmm. Chandler and Monica are joking around, getting on fine, but she now has a date with Dr. Roger, and he's really upset.
Why is he upset?
Well, I guess he likes her. They had rules in place, but anyway. Rachel goes home after her night with Joey, where nothing happened. She walks in, and Barry is in bed with somebody, because he's a right rotter.
What a jerk.
Yeah, and he's like, you were meant to be away for the weekend. She's like, oh yeah, you're right, it's my fault, sorry. Phoebe goes into work, and everyone's like, this is awkward. And then her boss shows up. It's fucking principal from the Breakfast Club.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Mm-hmm. Nothing worse than being fired by that guy.
No.
But yeah, she's just basically like, hey, you can give away my office, it's fine. I'll just sit in this corner and do some work. And
yeah, she's like, in denial.
Phoebe, it's over. And then she's like, oh no, I'm having another heart attack.
And she was.
And she had another heart attack. And again, she's just kind of like treating it like it's an annoyance.
Mm-hmm.
And like someone's like, hey Phoebe, welcome back. And she's like, how are things? And she's like, well, I got fired and I'm having a heart attack. He's like, okay, well, welcome back. Because they don't care about people on Wall Street.
No.
Oh, Rachel goes looking for Joey because now she wants some revenge sex. And again, at this point, God, what a weird timeline we're in. Central Perk had takeout cups. I've never seen them before.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah, because she bumps into Ross, and Ross has got like four cups of coffee, but they have a Central Perk logo on them that is different from the logo on the window.
Wow.
It was really weird. I literally have never seen those before.
Maybe they'll bring it in now.
I don't know. I think this is just this crazy...
What a world!
Maybe, like, in a timeline where Gunther didn't have to waste his time correcting Rachel's mistakes, he was able to innovate takeaway coffee.
Hmm. That's nice.
Yep, it was cool.
Good job, Gunther. He's there, by the way. We see him.
He's there, yep. He's still doing his thing. She yells at Ross about men being dicks, and you can't trust them. And Ross, like, taking this, like, venting about her husband as, like, a snipe against his entire gender, because there's nothing more fragile in this world than a middle-aged white man. Nothing more sensitive. He, like, leaps to the defense and be like, hey, not all men are like that. Some are good guys. Some will, like, sit there and watch their wife take part in what can only be considered a twosome just for the sake of their marriage. And Rachel's just like, well... kind of sounds like your wife is a lesbian. And Ross at that point realizes that Carol is a lesbian. Do we think, is this a timeline where Carol knows she's a lesbian, or is she like, she's just hiding it from Ross, or she just hasn't made that realization?
I think she knows.
Okay.
But she's in a marriage with a child and doesn't know how to go about handling all that.
Fair enough. Chandler goes around to Monica's, and Monica's just like, oh, Dr. Roger got beeped again, and Chandler's like, yeah, by me, because he apparently knows Monica's boyfriend's beeper number.
That didn't quite add up.
Now, why does Phoebe get a cell phone, but Dr. Roger just sticks with the beeper?
I don't know.
Didn't think about that, did you?
No, I really didn't put my thinking cap on for this episode at all.
And Monica's like, well, why did you do that, you jerk? And she's like, well, I think you should be with me. And she's like, okay. And then they kiss.
Proving that Chandler would have been with Monica even if she was overweight.
And that was...
God forbid.
And that was the whole point of the episode.
Aww.
And then the episode ends with Phoebe singing songs in Central Park.
Which didn't make any sense to me. So I don't feel like she would have. When would she have time to do that? With her job and stuff.
Well, she doesn't have a job anymore, so this is what she's doing now.
I know, but...
this is her new life.
It just looked like the next day or that night. It just
It's maybe something she did before she got offered the job as well. I think it's more like the job had changed her in such a amount of time. That is the end. And like, I guess the point of it is like, even though we're in a parallel universe, everything kind of ended up where we are now anyway. Like Rachel would still have divorced Barry because Barry's a dirty dog. Ross would still have divorced Carol because she is still a lesbian. Phoebe, I don't know. Phoebe's back to where she started. Some way Joey. Joey managed to keep his job, managed not to get fired on Days of Our Lives. I don't know, maybe Joey and Rachel start dating in this parallel universe.
No, who knows? But honestly, going through it, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't as good.
Oh, no.
As it could have been.
Oh, no, I've talked you out of it again.
Oh, gosh, Michael, you're really bringing me down.
No, it was fine. It was fun. Like, I wasn't in the mood for it. I was just like, it's just kind of a waste. But no, it was fun. It was all pretty good.
I don't know. I just don't believe you somehow.
All right. No, I enjoyed it fine. I liked...
keep saying fine. I just don't
It was fine. I'm not sticking my neck out and saying it was anything more than fine. But yeah. I think it was fine. You're not going to get a rant from me on this episode. I'm still riding that WrestleMania high.
What's the next one called?
Good question, in fact, because this one has... It's just one episode, but it has two titles. Two episode titles.
Oh.
It's either the one with the mixtape... Or the one with Unagi.
Do you remember these?
I do. We're going to call it the one with the Unagi because... Okay. Oh, this your world is about to be opened up to another piece of classic Friends folklore. You're about to be let in on, again, one of those great jokes. Just like the pivot and Smelly Cat, the song. Like, you're about to... Oh, this is classic Friends right here.
All right, good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this episode. We'll enjoy the one with you, Nagi, coming up next. Actually, here we are. Like, I thought we were struggling to make our way through this episode, but we've only got about 8 episodes left. And there's, again, another double episode at the end of the season. But we got some good stuff coming up. I'm not going to spoil it too much, but there's going to be a couple of good guest stars coming up towards the end of this season.
Oh, I love a good guest star.
That I am very much looking forward to. So... good stuff on the horizon, starting with the one with you and Aggie next episode. Thank you all very much for listening. Stay tuned for Elizabeth's answer to the Would You Rather in just a moment. But first, you can find us on Twitter at FriendsPod. You can check us out on Instagram, where we post our show notes. You can head on over to our Patreon and sling a couple of bucks our way to help with the charges of putting up an podcast on the regular. You can check out our website, friendstoneend.podomatic.net, which has all of our old episodes and the artwork for the show by Arthur Hamer. You can also, what else can people do? Tell a friend, word of mouth, go over to iTunes, leave us a friendly rating and review, all of that good stuff. Elizabeth, would you rather have a job working for your best friend as their personal assistant and they kind of treat you like shit, or have a job as a big shot on Wall Street?
I think the clincher for me was the fact that you said you'd be paid the same.
Yes.
So, knowing what people on Wall Street make,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really know, but I assume it's quite good. If you're good at it,
I think you make quite a lot of money.
I would choose working for my friend.
Okay, fair enough.
I just the idea of Wall Street or a job like that is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'd get really frustrated with this friend and we might lose our friendship because of it.
Yeah, could cost you a friendship.
But it also might be like, go get this dry clean and get me a coffee and schedule this appointment for me, which isn't as life or death as making Wall Street decisions.
I mean, that's not life or death. That's all silly as well.
I know, but it's...
Silly people...
I'm not losing $13 million.
Yelling numbers into a phone, making silly decisions.
But there's more than that.
Basically making the world a... terrible place.
Oh, Michael. One of our listeners works on Wall Street.
People on Wall Street don't listen to podcasts.
You don't know.
They're too busy taking cocaine and being mean to people on Tinder dates.
Okay, that's probably true.
Yeah. All right, good stuff. We will post that Would You Rather on our as a Twitter poll attached to this episode on Twitter when this episode drops. Check out for that and contribute to that vote, and we'll see what the rest of our Central Perk gang think of that. All right, I'm off to get some unagi. See you next time, buddy.
Later.
You can't have any, because it's sushi.
Oh, man.